Today is the 8th of June, 2018, the 25th of Sivan, Tavshanayin Ches. Here we go, Halachic Day of Perek Chaf Gimel. So I'll try to keep Bruce interested. So the Pasuk tells us there is a connection here that is made in Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Vav. It says, V'chamishasar Yom L'chodosh Hazeh, Chag HaMatzos L'Hashem. On the 15th day of this month, it's going to be the Chag HaMatzos. So that's in Pasuk Vav. And then if one looks later on, in Pasuk Lamed Dalet 34, so the verse says again, Daber b'nei Yisrael le'mor b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha'shvi'i hazeh. The 15th day of this month of the seventh month is going to be Chag HaSukkos. So what? That's interesting, but so what? So there is a connection here. There is a gezeira shava between the fact that it says Chamisha Asar in one place and Chamisha Asar in another place, that there is a connection that is made between Sukkot and Pesach, and specifically the 15th day of the month of Nisan, meaning the first day of Sukkot, of Pesach, as well as the first day of Sukkot. And there are halachic ramifications that come out of that connection, that come out of that Gezeirah Shavah. So the Torah Tamima quotes in each spot, verse 6 and verse 34. Right? And it says the 15th. That's what creates a Gezeirah Shavah. So there's two sources that the Torah Tamima quotes that reflect that idea. So in the first one, Pasuk Vav, it says, Chamisha Asar Tanya, the Braisa tells us, is in the Torah's Kohanim. It's a medrash, a halachic medrash. On the 15th day of this month is going to be Chag HaMatzos. Yom Ze Ta'un Matzah, Ve'in Chag HaSukkos Ta'un Matzah. And guess what? This day requires matzah. You're required to eat matzah on this day, the 15th day of Nisan, the first day of Pesach. And Chag HaSukkos does not. You're not required to eat matzah on Sukkos. Okay, interesting. So the Gemara says, V'alo dinhu, shouldn't it be a Kabel Chomer? U'maze she'ein ton sukkah ton matzah. Let's create the following idea of a Kabel Chomer, a logical argument of if one is like this, so how much more so the other one will be this. So what would be the Kabel Chomer here? So he suggests, well, on Pesach, we're not required to have a sukkah, but yet we're required to have matzah. So on Sukkot, when we are required to have a sukkah, certainly we should require matzah. Okay, fine. The first day. That's what this is going on. It's going on the 15th. So the Torah's Kohanim code is, if on Pesach, when we don't require sukkah, we have to eat matzah. Mm-hmm. On Sukkot, when we do eat in a sukkah, there is already a mitzvah. It's already a stringent day. So Kal v'chomer, you should require matzah. So therefore it says, v'chamishah asar yom l'chodesh hazeh, specifically in this month. Zeh ta'un matzah, v'in chag ha'sukkos ta'un matzah. This day is going to require matzah, and sukkos won't. So it's a good thing it says a chodesh hazeh, otherwise all the stringencies of Pesach would apply to sukkos as well, in terms of matzah and chametz, it sounds like, and things like that.
Really?
So the Torah Tamima takes a step back and says, whoa, whew, time out, right? What do you mean? Why are we possibly comparing the two, right? Pesach is about matzah, and sukkos is about sukkah. Why in the world am I going to say, oh, well, it says it here, therefore it's going to say it there. Maybe I would have thought that we're going to link all the holidays together. So don't worry, we don't link all of them together. Which is an exact proof against Ayelet the Kosher Comic. Have you ever come across Ayelet the Kosher Comic? She actually performed at Beth HaMedrash, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago already. One of either our first year or second year here. So he brought her in for a women's pre-Sukkot program, a pre-Purim program. And she's a woman, I don't know if she's still doing it, but she is a woman comedian, and she has like routines, but she only performs for women only. But we had her stay at our house, so I got a little bit of a snippet. She has one routine where she talks about chag in a day, right? That she combines every yantif into making it like, what would be if every yantif was in one day, right? You sit on the floor, put a tissue above, and then you get up, and then you show, whatever. It's pretty funny. Is that what we're doing here? We're going to say, oh, chag in a day, if not for the fact that we had this limitation. So the Torah Tamima says, well, there is something else that draws the connection, meaning it's not enough to just say, oh, look at that, it says the 15th here, the 15th there. Maybe I would think there would be overlap, but there is overlap in another chag. What is that? If we bring Shavuos into the picture, the mitzvah of Shavuos does apply to the other two. What is the mitzvah of Shavuos? But to stay up all night learning, to eat cheesecake. What's the mitzvah of Shavuos? The mitzvah of Shavuos specifically speaks about the mitzvah of Simcha. And the mitzvah of Simchas Yanta, the mitzvah of celebrating, being joyful, and perhaps eating. On Yantif, that extends to both Pesach and Shavuos.
You're missing another connection, yeah, bigger connection.
But, halachic or hashkaf, halacha or philosophical connection?
Halacha.
Okay.
Hey, self-control. I said, okay. That's a much bigger thing than the simple thing. This is.
No, there's a specific. I understand, but there's a specific. What we call a gezeirah shavah, right? If we say in the morning, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Shloshes Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bem, the Torah can be darshened out in 13 ways. Number one is Kal V'Chomer, and number two is gezeirah shavah, right? So it could be that maybe there is something. I gotta look around and see if there's something in the fact that it says Shivas Yamim, if that connects them. But right now we're focusing on the first, the gezeirah shavah. So gezeirah, there's a comparison of 15 to 15. It doesn't matter whether it's strong or weak, etc. The same word is used in both places. Now there has to be some havamim. Why would I think that they'd be overlapping? So the Torah Tumimah's answer is as well. You have Shavuos that already brings them to be overlapping with one another, and Sukkot and Pesach therefore are brought together by the holiday of Shavuos. So therefore, I would think to merge all the mitzvos together from one holiday to the next. So therefore, it's telling you not to. But the Torah Tumimah takes a step, points out though. He says, realize something very important here, right? We tend to think of Sukkot and Pesach being things totally different. Right? Pesach is about celebrating the leaving of Egypt, and Sukkot is about... What's Sukkot about?
Well,
I guess celebrating their time in the Midbar, we'll say. Celebrating their time in the desert, right? That Hashem saved them in the desert. And we think about them as being totally unique and totally separate holidays.
Right.
So comes here and says, no, but you realize they really are connected. They really are both about each other. Why do you end up in Sukkot? Because you left Pesach. Because you left during Pesach, right? How could you have left during Pesach if not for the fact that you had Sukkot coming up? If not for the fact that you'd be able to be protected in the Midbar? They both are connected very integrally to one another. So therefore, we should take this matter, even though based on a word, we don't have an overlapping of mitzvos. Still, we should bear in mind the connection between the 2 days, and perhaps that may have other halachic reflections that we will get to shortly. But there's one more interesting thing that the Torah Tumimah points out. He says, you know what the proof is to my idea? I'll give you the following proof. When the Braisa suggests that maybe we should merge Sukkot and Pesach and say, oh, well, maybe on Pesach we should do what? What was the suggestion of the Braisa? We should? No. Sit in a sukkah. Why did it not say shake a lulav? So the Torah Tumimah says, because they are totally different things. Why do we sit in the sukkah?
To commemorate
being in the desert. Why do we shake a lulav? Why do we shake? We shake a lulav because of the harvest. So that has nothing to do with leaving Pesach. So therefore, there was no havamina that we would shake a lulav on Pesach. But there was a thought that maybe we should sit in a sukkah on Pesach. So therefore, it's coming to tell us, no, we're not going to sit in a sukkah on Pesach. By the way, what are we celebrating exactly on Sukkah? So there's a dispute that the Gemara has. Are we celebrating the fact that Bnei Yisrael lived in Sukkot, they lived in tents, or that they celebrate Sukkot Mamish? Sukkot Mamish, they lived in tents, or are we celebrating the Anani HaKavod? So when did the Anani HaKavod start? When do we have our first description in the Torah of the Anani HaKavod? Right away, leaving Egypt. Very good. Vayhi b'shalach paro. That's in the beginning of Parshas B'shalach. Just going to check to make sure. But in the very beginning of Parshas B'shalach, how is it discussed? The Bnei Yisrael left, and they had to go a specific way, and they went a certain way, and Moshe took the bones of Yosef, and Hashem walked in front of them day, b'amud anan chosamadech, to show them the way, v'layla mudeish le'ir lahem, l'lechas yumam v'layla, lo yamish amud anan yumam v'amudei ish layla lifnei am, that the thing never left from in front of them. Now, truth, it doesn't mention explicitly the Anani HaKavod that surrounded them, but good enough. We already have this idea of Hashem being with us in the desert already from the very first day of Pesach.
Right.
That concept already exists. Okay.
Quick,
yes. Okay, so?
And Shavuos, we say, we're receiving the Torah. And Sukkot, we say, Taman Sukkot Seinu.
Okay, fine.
So, but that's all Yom Tovs or something. The everybody's going through this chronology. We got to Egypt.
Okay, I understand. But the specific mitzvah, the specific injunction of Simchas Achag comes out of Shavuos. That was his suggestion. Okay, so there is another quote. This is a fact from the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself raises the issue of... that's not in the right place. There we go. Yeah, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, in verse 34... So the Gemara itself raises a question about how much one has to eat in the sukkah. And the Gemara comments, Nemar kan b'chamishasar yom l'chodesh, v'nemar b'chagamatzus b'chamishasar yom l'chodesh. That it says 15 here and 15 there. Just as over there, the first night is obligatory, meaning on Pesach, the first night is obligatory to eat matzah. So afkan laila rishon achobah. So too here, it is obligatory to eat in the sukkah on the first night of sukkahs. Okay? So the Torah Tamima comments on that. He says, yeah. Okay, that the first night of Pesach is obligatory, the rest of the days is Rishus, so too the first night of Sukkot is obligatory, the rest of the time is Rishus. That's the third to me. Fine. So there is one question before we get to the Torah Tumimah's question. There is there's some kind of specific obligation for the first night of Sukkot. So asks in the back of the Masifta Gemara, he raises a question. Well, wait a second. When we eat in a sukkah on the third night of Sukkot, so what do we do? Do we make a bracha? Of course. Yeah. What do we do? Do we eat matzah if we eat matzah on the third night of Pesach? Do we make a bracha on the matzah? No. Right, so if we're going, so why is it that Sukkot is we're going to say is a chova on the first night? So, but we're going to make a bracha all 7 nights, while matzah is obligatory the first night, and we only make a bracha on the first night. We don't make a bracha any of the other nights. Why would that be? So the Baal HaMor says, well, the chiv of Sukkot is for all 8 days, meaning when you do things on Sukkot, it needs to be in a sukkah. Right? When you do things on Sukkot, if you want to sleep over the course of Sukkot, and you can't go 3 days without sleeping, says the Gemara, you'll sleep in a sukkah. If you need to eat, right, and you don't necessarily have to eat, but that is obligatory, depending on what you do, it's obligatory for all 8 days. Right. Matzah, there's no obligation of eating matzah. Furthermore...
I don't know why that is, because it specifically says in Pasuk 6 that you shall eat matzah for a 7-day period.
Yes, so, right. Except we learn elsewhere, the Gemara itself has that issue. It says the first night you eat matzah. So how do you put the two together? So the first night is obligatory. The rest of the days, that's just what you eat. Because we eat matzah, but there's no obligation. I understand. So the Gemara itself raises that question, and we believe in the Torah Sheval Peh. Right? The Torah Sheval Peh figures it out like that. Right? There's only obligation of the first night and not the rest of the seven nights. So it's a great question, right? But the tradition already has been established to neglect the forcefulness of that pasuk, right? But with regards to, so the other answer that is given there is that, well, eating matzah, why do we eat matzah over the course of the rest of Pesach? We eat matzah
because we're not
canning and because we're... So that's why we don't eat. So we can't eat chametz for sure. But why would I eat matzah? Because I'm hungry. Because I need to eat, right? Why would I eat in the sukkah? I would eat in the sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is to eat in the sukkah. So while matzah, I will not make a bracha because I'm doing it because I need to eat, not necessarily because to fulfill the bracha to the mitzvah. Sukkah, that's the way I have to eat. I'm going to eat by way of the sukkah, and that's clearly a mitzvah, and therefore I'm going to make a bracha on that all 7 nights. The Miri points out that really those two answers are really the same thing. They're both two sides of the same coin. That I eat, that I make a bracha on matzah, on sukkah all 8 days because I can't live without it, and because that's the mitzvah way of doing all the things I can't live without. Well, I don't make bracha on matzah because I don't have to eat matzah, and if I do eat it, I'm doing it because I want to eat. There is some...
You say this about the regular bracha, right?
Make a bracha on motzi lechem minar. That's right. Right, they're different style of ma'ah. One is a brachas ha-mitzvah, and one is a brachas ha-mitzvah, shekhi yishan, so that we only make at the Seder. Okay, so what's the next? What does it mean that sukkah is obligatory, though, on the first night of sukkahs? What does that mean? Right, that sukkah is sukkah, the first night is a chiyuv, and the rest of the time it's not. And the Ramah actually...
It looks like it's everything.
So what is... What?
It looks like it's you have to go on that night, and then the point was you have to eat a meal sometime to do it,
Right. So what is unique about the first night of Sukkot? What do we drive that? It's a chiyuv. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Taf Reish Lamed Tes, so with Chutzis Halacha, in Taf Reish Lamed Tes, Siv Gimel, it says, Achila B'sukkah B'leil Yom Tov Rishon Chova. Right, even if you eat a kezias of bread, you'll fulfill your obligation. From then and onwards, it becomes a reshus for the rest of Sukkot. So that's what he says. Now the Rama in Sif Hei adds in and says, no, it's more than that. Even umishaino baki, it's talking about when it starts raining. When it starts raining, you don't eat in the sukkah anymore. Comes the Rama and says, the cholze dafka b'shar yamim olelo shel sukkot. All this applies specifically to the rest of the days or the rest of the nights of Sukkot. Aval laila rishona, but the first night of Sukkot, tsarech lechel kezayis besukkah af in geshamim yordim. One has to eat a kezayis in the sukkah, even if the rain is falling. V'kayish besukkah kedesh yomar zman al sukkah. And we make kiddush in the sukkah in order so that we make a shechiyanu on the sukkah. So the Rama adds in that there is some kind of injunction of the first night of Sukkot. One has to eat in the sukkah, even if it's raining. So comes the third Mima and says, well, time out. You don't fulfill your mitzvah sukkah if it's raining. So how does it help?
Sorry.
Right? If you're exempt the rest of sukkahs from eating in the sukkah when it's raining, because it's raining and you can't fulfill the mitzvah when it's raining, so why is that going to all of a sudden be different on the first night of sukkahs? Right? If it's not sukkahable, so then it's not sukkahable, whether it's the first night or whether it's the rest of the time. So why should it make any difference? Right, that's the kasha that's asked by the Torah Tamima. He says, how are you going to make the first night be different than manishtana halayla zemikolilos? How are you going to make the first night different than any other night? So the Mishnah Berurah.
No, I mean the original cover. You're talking the Ramah talking. What was the original Shulchan Aruch?
Shulchan Aruch doesn't say this then.
Yeah,
the Shulchan Aruch just says it's obligatory on the first night. Now, the truth is, Tosfos on that page raises the question, says, wait a second, what do you mean it's obligatory on the first night? We assume that this is obligatory for all the meals of Yontif, right? You have to eat on Yontif. We talked about that yesterday a little bit. But you have to eat on Yontif. So if you have to eat on Yontif, so you have to eat in a sukkah. So what do you mean? How is it going to be any different? So Tosfos answers and explains that, well, it might be that that you need to have pas the first night. It could be that bread's not obligatory as part of your Yontif injunction, but it might be obligatory based on your Sukkot injunction, similar to matzah, right? Matzah is obligatory to eat matzah, so too it would be obligatory to eat bread in the Sukkah on the first night of Sukkot, even if it's raining, whatever that means. So it could mean, so there's two things that the Mishnah Berurah, let's take a step back. So how would that work out? So the Mishnah Berurah says, well, it could mean one of two things. It could mean either you eat in the rain, right? Which is the problem that we mentioned just now, that if you eat in the rain, but okay, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah if it's raining. Yeah, and now I know that the Gemara itself says that that one who eats in the rain anyways, what do we call a person who eats in the sukkah in the rain?
A shota.
A shota. He's called a chassid shota. He's called a foolish chassid. So there are those, right, there are those of Chabad persuasion, right, that no, even if it's raining, we're going to eat in the sukkah every night of sukkahs. I think it's known as being a Chabad minna, right? That Chabad will eat in, Lubavitchers will eat in the sukkah even if it's raining the entire sukkahs.
Right.
Right? So one of my rabbis once said, he said, the Gemara says that it's a chassid shota, right? So Lubavitchers will say, well, I'd rather be considered a chassid shota and eat in the sukkah than not eat in the sukkah.
Right.
To which my rabbi responded, okay, so what can I say? You're a chassid shota. You're a foolish chassid. All right, fine.
No, but one of the ways that they tell me what I heard was that you don't eat because it's unpleasant. You're not supposed to suffer in the sukkah.
Yes.
That's the idea.
Right.
So they say we're.
Okay, fine, but it's against the Gemara. All right, I don't want to go further. Okay, so two answers would be, one is, well, we're going to eat in the sukkah if it's raining anyways, right? And B, we're going to, or we'll wait, we'll have to wait up until it stops raining, meaning on the most nights of sukkahs, if I want to eat now, and I look outside and it's raining, so that's it, I'm going to eat inside. And even if it stops raining in the middle of my meal, I don't have to go back outside. But on the first night of Yontif, I got to wait until it stops raining. How long do I have to wait? So Mishnah Berurah throws out this line, you gotta wait until Chatzos. Why until Chatzos? So Mishnah Berurah then says, well, I don't really know if it's Chatzos. You gotta wait. You gotta wait until people get. You gotta wait until people get very cranky. I mean, once people get very cranky, so then it's over. But other than that, one should wait to see if it's going to stop raining. That's the distinction from the first night. So there's a little bit of a nafkamina between the two, right? According to the first answer, we're saying no. The first night you gotta eat outside. Would you make a bracha on that? Would you make a bracha on eating outside in the sukkah when it's raining outside? So the Taz on the commentary on Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, yes, you can't be Yotzei Sukkah if it's raining, if you're mitzvah, if you're in pain. That's every other night. But the injunction of the first night is that the exemption of mitzvah doesn't apply. That one is going to be chayiv. That's what he says. So Mishnah Berurah says, all right, so that's subject to a machlokas. We're still going to say suffik brachos lahakel. We're going to say you're not going to make a bracha outside, but the Taz says that you would go ahead and do it. The second answer that he, and Taz, by the way, continues on and says, not only would this apply the first night, it would apply the second night of Yantif also. Now, the Magen Avraham disagrees and said, no, it wouldn't apply the second night, it would only apply the first night, but... And Chutz Lars would apply the second night also, right? I have an article in Beis Yitzchak where I discuss that briefly, but we're going to run out of time if we get into that. The second approach that the Magen Avraham, that the Mishnah Berurah then continues on and says, is that, well, maybe it's you got to wait up till later in order to go ahead and do it. That's the injunction, and I have to wait. So what is really the... what is really the psak? The psak probably is, for most, if we would have to, and it comes out, it happens... Sometimes. There's been years where I've like checked the weather report out the door on the first night to see what's going to be. I've decided whether to speak or not at shul on the first, usually speak at night on the first night of Yontif. So you decide whether to speak or not depending on what the weather report is. You got to get home, you got to rush, you got to make sure to try to eat before the sukkah. The psak is if it is raining, so we should wait a little bit and see if it stops raining. And if it doesn't let up, the minhag I think is to go outside, even amongst non-Chabadniks, to go outside, make Kiddush, not make a make Shechianu, not make a bracha of Leishiv Vasukkah, but do eat a kezias of lechem outside, and then go inside. If it lets up later on, to go back outside and have a kezias of bread at some point later on that night, assuming it's not too late. Does one have to wake up in the middle of the night and if it stops raining? So probably not Mi'ikar Adin. There's a story that Rav Soloveitchik has that Rav Kefet has about in the book The Rav, where the Rav recalls that when he was a little kid in Kaslovich, so it once rained the first night of Sukkot and they didn't eat in the Sukkah, and then his father comes and wakes him up at 4 in the morning and says, no, Yashavera, let's go outside, it stopped raining, we can go eat in the Sukkah now. To which he recalls that he asked his father, now it's unclear if he asked his father while laying in bed saying, Dad, or he asked him like later on, or he asked him while they were eating in the sukkah. It's also unclear whether he went and did it or not. But he asked his father, he says, but mitzdayer is pater min ha-sukkah, and isn't waking up at 4 in the morning being considered mitzdayer? So what did his father answer?
Not once you're in the sukkah.
No, his answer, he said he didn't know what his father answered him. So he doesn't recall what his father responded.
But, I would say you're only suffering...
Right, the suffering, the only tour is the suffering in the sukkah, not suffering getting through the sukkah.
Yeah.
Right, I think his argument back would be, what do you mean? You think I'm suffering? I'd rather be in bed. It's 4 in the morning. But that's a good distinction. Perhaps maybe that is the answer. Fine. So that is one idea of the 15th, that it's a chiv the first night. What does it mean that it's a chiv? That it could mean that we'd eat in the rain, or that means that we'd have to wait. There is ramifications to both. Our minhag probably is to eat in the. I think most people's Ashkenazi minhag is to make kiddush and to eat a kezias of bread in the rain, and then to go and not without a bracha, then to go inside. And if it happens to be later in the night, the one has the ability to wake up and eat without and have a kezias in the sukkah. So then at that point, one could go out and make a bracha. Okay. The Ramah, interestingly, has a few other things. I mean, once we have this Gezeirah Shavah of Tesvav, 15 and 15, there are a couple of other Rishonim jump in and say, you know what? Maybe we should be Machmir for this as well. So what are some of the other ones? The Ramah and Siv Gimel comments. There it is. I'm looking at the wrong thing. There it is. In Siv Gimel, he says, V'lo yecha b'layla rishon, atshe vaday layla. This is a problem, right? The Ramah says that one should not eat on the first night either, until a certain night. Where is that coming from? So there is an idea on Pesach night that just as the Korban Pesach, you have to wait until it's nightfall to eat, so too the other mitzvahs of the night, including Dalet Kosos, the four cups of wine, you have to wait until it's nighttime in order to eat. So this is always an issue, especially families that perhaps are not so affiliated. That means that you can't start your seder till 8:30 at night or so. But that's what it's based on. It's based on just as the Korban Pesach can't be eaten until night, so too the four kosos can't be eaten until night. If that's the case, you can't make kiddush until it's nighttime. So the Ramah comments just as on Pesach you can't eat until it's nighttime, so too. On Sukkot, you can't eat until it's nighttime, so you can't make early Sukkot, the first night of Sukkot, meaning you can't make and you shouldn't make a Shechiyanu until that point. Now, maybe one can make a case that you can make Kiddush earlier and then eat later. I think the Mishnah Berurah is not happy with that. Actually says if you did eat earlier and then you continue into nighttime, so then you can make you'd have to go back and make another. You should eat another kizayis later on, but you wouldn't necessarily make another bracha of leishav sukkah. Okay, but the minhag is not to make early sukkahs. That point, that time of the year, it's not so late at night. Another idea that he has here is v'yochal kodam chatzos alayla. The one should conclude eating their meal, or at least do their best to eat their kizayis before midnight. Okay, that's not usually going to be a problem, unless you have this rain issue. But one should try to take care of their eating the sukkah before midnight, just like on Pesach, or Machmid, to finish eating the Seder before Chatzos. And finally, v'lo yochal b'yom mechatzos ve'elech, k'eshe yochal b'sukkah l'tiavon, that one should not eat the afternoon of Erev Sukkot, just like one does not eat the afternoon of Erev Pesach. There is an idea of not eating a real meal on the afternoon of Erev Pesach, in order that you eat matzah with gusto, with hunger. So too, the same would be here. At some point, I think the Mishnah Berurah points out that it's not exactly the same thing, because on Pesach, there's a mitzvah to eat l'teyavon. There's a mitzvah to eat your Korban Pesach with hunger. There's no such halacha by Sukkot, but there's not necessarily a comparison. But maybe there is. Just as one should eat matzah with hunger, so too one should eat their challah on Sukkot night with their hunger. There's one more interesting idea that is quoted by the Prima Gadim, and that is that your kizayis that you eat the night of Sukkot should be comparable to the matzah on Pesach. What does that mean? That means I have to eat matzah, it can't be chametz? No. But he does say that just as matzah, you are not yotza your mitzvah with matzah ashira. What is matzah ashira? Matzah that has additives, matzah that has things added that's not just flour and water. Right, that has some type of fruit juice or egg matzahs, things like that. So the Prima Gadim says that your challah should only be flour and water. Now, that's not so easy to find. Flour and water. Which, by the way, is a big issue for Sephardim. Sephardim maker didn't would seem to hold that Sephardim should only really can only make an hamotzi if it's flour and water. So they're machmir for this, but not machmir. That's what David Abraham told me once, that they're machmir to try to get what they call water challah, but not strict that they would only do it on water flour. But that idea perhaps exists. People going to suggest it would apply to Sukkot night, and Piskei Teshuvah, he goes through and says, there's reasons to doubt that chumrah as well. But anyways, I think that's a good roundup of halachos learned out from the Gezeira Shava of Tesvav to Tesvav.
What about when Shabbos comes in really late, 8:30?
Yeah, what about it?
Is it okay to have first and then do Kiddush and Matzah?
Well, what